This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
This is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you are having a great start to your Saturday. And as we always say,
if you start your Saturday off with us, you start your Saturday off right.
Right. And I hope that you had a fantastic week. I hope that you were able to learn something new. And I hope that you were able to give back. And I hope that you were able to encourage someone along your journey. I know one thing that I learned about last week is that sometimes you have to just jump. You know, you can't just keep talking the talk, but you have to walk the walk as well. I know with this social media piece, this has been something that I've been battling with. I mean, I like it, you know, but sometimes I don't put the time into it, and I know the benefits of it, but I just really don't like it that much, so I jump. So this week, drum roll please, I finally jumped and opened up a TikTok account. Yes, I know Felicia's been telling me, Peter Busy V has been saying that for years, but I finally opened up one, and my tag name, so if you all want to follow me, is Dr. B. Pope the Counselor. Okay, that's my TikTok name, and I'm excited about it. I posted a short video clip a day ago, and it was so amazing because I had about, 200 views, and I remember when I had my first like, I told Felicia, I got one like. It kind of, it excited me with one like. I know y'all might be saying, doggone, man, that's nothing. But anyway, it was just encouraging to be at a point where you said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and move forward. I'm going to jump no matter what people say. I'm just going to get out there and make something happen.
Nothing wrong with that. That's great. Congratulations.
All right, now, I'm surprised you don't have nothing else to say, Fee the Busy Bee, about
that. No, I'm just so glad you finally listened.
Right. So, husbands, hey, take that note. Listen to your wife, okay? It helps a lot. So, that's just a little talking point right now. So, this morning for our Black History Fact, we're going to be talking about an amazing woman, and her name is Maggie L. Walker. And I know that a lot of you probably never heard of her. I know for myself, I hadn't heard of her. And I want to just thank you, Melvin Jordan, for sending me this quick snapshot of who it was. And it's just amazing because she was the first woman in America, not African woman, but she was African American, but she was the first woman to open up her own bank. Now, when we're going through financial literacy in school or economics, I've never heard of her until this week. So I want to play this short audio clip so you all can know who Maggie L. Walker is.
In the early 20th century, segregation created an entirely separate economy complete with successful African-American entrepreneurs. In Richmond, Virginia, young Maggie Walker was about to become a big part of that economy.
Slavery is over, and you have public education, mass education, so African-Americans are able to get these jobs that require formal education, such as lawyers, doctors, teachers. They're able to get those roles. And once they get those roles, then the classes start to vary more. And then you have the emergence of this elite African-American class.
Maggie Walker was one of the first women in the United States and the first African-American woman to create a bank. Even more impressive is that the bank she started in the 20th century is still running strong in the 21st century. This Richmond woman was born into poverty, but valued education, her faith, and hard work above anything else. She used those qualities to gain her financial independence and elite status, which helped her open doors for others. The origin of Consolidated Bank and Trust Company was an African-American self-help organization called the Independent Order of St. Luke.
It was started by a woman named Mary Prout in 1867 in Baltimore. And it was started as a secret society providing those benefits. And then as the decades went on, the organization grew. It provided more streamlined insurance, membership grew, and things like that. And on until the 1890s, the membership declined, the funds were, they were in the hole, basically. And then someone nominated Maggie Walker to be the leader, the Rightworthy Grand Secretary of the organization, and she took that role in 1899.
Mrs. Walker met the obstacles of poverty and segregation with a deft creativity. When she took charge of St. Luke, the organization had only $32 in assets and more than $400 in debt. She worked with other St. Luke chapters to sell stock in the organization to raise money to buy a building. She founded the St. Luke Herald, which publicized the social struggles African Americans suffered under segregation. In 1903, she founded the St. Luke Penny Bank, leading the organization profitably and lifting her community. She also ensured the bank would last for generations by merging with another bank to become Consolidated Bank and Trust.
She urged African Americans to start their own businesses, and one of the ways in which she implemented that was starting that bank, the St. Luke Penny Savings Bank. And in that way, she was able to provide loans to African Americans so that they could acquire property and start their own businesses. And she saw through to the end that what she was preaching, this African American sustainability, was actually working.
These success stories put Maggie in demand as a public speaker. And every opportunity she had, she pushed African Americans to invest in their own community. And she demanded that women be given equal opportunities as men. Let woman choose her own vocation, just as man does his, she once said. Let her go into business. Let her make money. Let her become independent. Maggie Walker's ingenuity, innovative spirit, and a heart as kind and big as all of Virginia changed perspective.
She let nothing stop her. She made sure that she saw her dreams and her goals through to the end. And because of that, because she had such determination, we still see some of those dreams and goals that she had around today.
Not only could an African-American woman run an enduring business, a business could be built with the well-being of its community at heart.
At this time, I would like to all of us to show some love to Miss Maggie L. Walker, someone who I didn't even know about. And this woman, this trailblazer, this African-American female was the first African-American and first woman in the United States to own her very own bank.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
What time is it?
It's time for the tea. It's time for the tea.
Hey, hey, it's Fee the Busy Bee, and I'm here with the tea. I hope you guys are having a great, great morning. Yes, we have to start off on a little bit of sad notes. We're talking about the flood that happened in Texas, guys. So this is really, really just sad.
It is.
And our hearts go out to the ones who lost loved ones, to the ones who are still searching for their families. I mean, this is really, really bad. And, you know, nothing can really prepare you for something like this. I mean, it's just, it's a lot. But I just want to talk about a little bit of things that's happened, guys, to get you up to date on what's going on. It says the flash floods in Texas killed at least 122 people over the 4th of July holiday weekend, including girls attending a summer camp, and left others still missing. On Monday, Camp Mystic confirmed at least 27 campers and counselors had died in the flooding.
Wow.
This was so devastating. From west of Austin to northwest of San Antonio has drawn a massive search effort as officials face questions over this preparedness and the speed of their initial actions. Here's what to know about the deadly flood. Weather systems that drove it in and around the Cura County, Texas, ongoing efforts to identify victims. The floods grew to their worst at the midpoint of the long holiday weekend when many people were asleep. The Texas Hill Country in the central part of the state is naturally prone to flash flooding due to the dry dirt packed areas where the soil lets rain skid along the surface of the landscapes instead of soaking it up. And areas of cliffs and steep hills cause, you know, this eruption to happen. So this is deep because I didn't really know what happen in this. So by reading this, it's like it had soil that let the rain skid along the surfaces and it didn't soak it up. So kind of, I don't know if you guys saw that picture where you see all this, like, it's like a tunnel where it just keeps, you know, going like as a volcano or something of just mud and dirt. Now I kind of understand why I saw that. Wow. It says when warm air from the Gulf rushes up, it condenses and can camp and damp a lot of moisture. And that water flows down the hills quickly from many different directions, filling streams and rivers below. And so that's kind of what happened. So a civil environmental engineer at the University of Texas at San Antonio wrote about this to kind of explain what really happened and what took place.
All right.
But I know that they're definitely in my prayers. I'm sure a lot of you guys have been praying for right. them and the things that have happened. And we just, our hearts go out to them. I know right now it's 173 people that have not been found yet.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that's just hard. So mm-hmm. let's really be praying for them.
That's right.
I know it was so great to see that Trump and his wife were able to go down and show support and bring them the help that they needed. I know Melania, it was so great to hear her talk. You know, usually Melania doesn't really speak a lot. I'm talking about Trump's wife. And she really got on there and talked and expressed about her heartfelt feelings and about the children and how her heart went out for people and that she's there and she wants to support them and she'll be back. And I just thought that was just so sweet. And yeah, this is something that just really can affect all of us. And so definitely, it's just been a hard thing. But what I want to kind of mention is how can we protect ourselves from something like this? And I know it's been a lot of stuff surrounding why, you know, the alarms didn't go off early and all those things. And we can kind of get into all that. And I don't know if Burrell's going to talk about that. I'm sorry, Dr. B is going to talk about that in his political corner. But it's a lot of things that kind of went into that. But for us, I want us to kind of think through how can we prepare for a flood if something like this happens to us? And it says, know your risk. Identify if your property is in a flood-prone area. Mm. You know, every time you go and you buy your property, it tells you whether you need flood insurance or not.
Right.
So that's very important to know if your property is in a flood-prone mm-hmm. Area. And understand the types of flooding that can occur in your community. Prepare a flood kit. Include essentials like first aid kit, non-perishable foods, water, a radio, so you can kind of keep informed what's going on, a flashlight, any kind of medications that you're on that you're going to need while you're there, and just very important documents. I suggest just making sure that you're getting your documents that are very important. Get them laminated in some, in the plastic laminations that they have. Some people buy these sealed water boxes that they put them in. So different things like that to make sure your documents are sealed and protected. Also, to create an evacuation plan. Like, I know we kind of have an evacuation plan, like if a fire breaks out or whatever in our home, but we need evacuation plans for all these kind of things, mm-hmm. especially if you have children that are small, okay? So it says determine a safe evacuation route and a meeting spot to have a plan for your pets. I mean, because a lot of times, too, people are in safety. Like, this guy had took his whole family. They had went up to the roof, and he said, oh, my God, I forgot my pet. And so a pet that's in a family is like part of the family.
Right.
So a lot of times, sometimes we get in trouble going back for that one thing. And so just making sure that you have a plan for everybody, for the pets and everybody that's in the family to be able to be safe. Then it says protect your property. Evaluate the value on the valuables and secure outdoor items and consider sandbagging if you can, if time allows. You know, stay informed. Like I said, you know, wherever you go to your safe place, have a little radio. You want to monitor weather reports and emergency alerts from your local authorities. You want to make sure that you're informed, that you know what's going on. you know, and then, you know, during the flood, heed the warning, guys. If they say, hey, it's time to get out here and pack up, let's get out here and pack up. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and immediately evacuate and follow the instructions that's been given to us.
Right.
And then turn around and don't drown. You know what I mean? Like, never attempt to drive or walk through flood water.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
As even shallow waters can be dangerous. So just kind of remember that.
Right.
Sometimes we think, oh, I'm a swimmer. I'll be fine. But guys, this stuff is different. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you guys ever tried swimming in the ocean or something. It's like, you know, that's kind of hard. And all the currents and stuff that come up in the waves. I mean, something like a flood is totally different. It's so much more powerful. You know, and like I said, too, like this other family, they had went to the top of their roof. Just try to move to a higher ground if you can.
Right.
You know, and then after flood, just be very cautious. Make sure you always listen out to what's going on. Make sure that you report your damages to the right authority, people, insurances, or whoever that you need to report that to. And follow up with re-entry orders as far as how to get back to your home. And whatever procedures you guys do with potential hazards and molds to clean up the area. So this gives us a wide view of what you do to prepare, what you do during, and what you do after. So I hope this kind of, these little tidbits kind of, you know, encourages us to, you know, to be aware when these things happen and how we can prepare. Okay. And also, too, a good thing is that we always like to share great news. And so we have Jessica Hyatt, who's a highest rated female chess player. And I love to hear this stuff about chess playing because our daughter plays chess and she's amazing at it. Don't you think, Brill?
Oh, yes.
I mean, like, she is really good. Like, we take her downtown and she would play and she would beat a lot of people that were down there. So, and she was how old at that time?
About eight.
Probably about 8 years old. So, I mean, so this is cool. So anyway, so getting back to Jessica, since in 2019, Hyatt won the New York State Scholarship Championship and won the 2023 KCF All-Girls National Champion. Hyatt is the highest rated African-American female chess player in history and a five-time national U.S. youth team member.
Mm.
So in 2021, she defended Grandmaster Michael Rode. In 2022, Grandmaster Mazire, who became one of the few African-American female players to have been beaten a Grandmaster.
Wow, that's
so
awesome.
So in 2024, she was number one rated as 18 years old for the USCF ranking. And I mean, she has just been trailblazing ever since.
Wow.
And what a great, great story. And we know that you have to have a mastermind to play chess, man, because you got to know what the next move is going to be before you move. And it's so funny today. Our whole topic is going to be about pivoting. And so chess is a great thing to be able to think about pivoting, right? Because you got to know kind of where you stand, and also you got to know where you're going. So
right.
That's kind of great how that fell into that. So, hey,
Jessica,
it's Feed the Busy Bee, and that is my tea.
All right, Feed the Busy Bee. Thank you so much for that commentary. And we give some shout-outs to Jessica Hyatt. So let's give it up for Jessica Hyatt. All right. Give her a shout-out. This young lady did an amazing thing. And I just want to just kind of reiterate about the floods. I know that my family was affected by a flood. And that's, to me, that's worse than a fire. I mean, because it's scary. But also, one thing that I realized when we were cleaning up after the flood is that you see all the belongings there, but they're so waterlogged, you can't even use them. Like with a fire, everything is just gone. But when a big flood happens like that, I remember when my mom was in a flood, it's like you saw pictures of us, but they were so waterlogged. You saw different mementos, but they were so damaged. So my heart, just like Feed a Busy Bee said, goes out to all the victims and also to the families and just the people who are missing. I pray that they're found. I pray that they're safe. And I just know that this is kind of, it's a sad event. So my heart goes out to everyone.
It's time for Political Corner, where we talk about everything politics for about 2 minutes.
That's my new intro to Political Corner. I mean, it might be cheesy, y'all, but hey, I just wanted to talk a few minutes about just some of the things that are going on in this world right now. First of all, I just want to talk about the Epstein files. Remember, that was supposed to be this big thing that was supposed to be coming out this week. You know, all of this data, you know, with all of these clients that are on the list, and now... Hey, it's not, it doesn't even exist anymore. I think the secretary came out. Yes. Oh, it doesn't even exist. Nothing's there. Now, she said it was on her desk. She said the files were on her desk. And that's a whole different story right there. But no client list when it comes to the Epstein files. I know a lot of people were kind of shocked and upset about that because they thought they were going to get a list of potential clients that this man was dealing with the child trafficking and everything else. But no list. So she went back and kind of recanted that the list was other things, but not that list, even though everybody said that was on the list. And again, Felice Feeder Busy B talked about the flood that went on. And now some people are just talking about it's not political, but what could have been done better in this situation? And I want to play an audio clip. And this young lady, she talks about some of the things that everyone could have did better in this situation.
So 100 people are now dead in Texas from the floods. And Texas Senator Ted Cruz has told us that now is not the time to make it political. Well, now is not the time to make it political. It's just a Republican way of saying we f***ed up, so let's not talk about it. Well, we're going to talk about it. Because no, a flood shouldn't be political. It's a natural disaster. We don't need to say that Republicans got what they voted for because that's disgusting. And these are people, our fellow Americans, many of them totally innocent children who have died. But why they died, that is political. And we need to talk about that. Because it was the Republican Party, federal, state, and local, that made the decisions that caused these deaths. Republicans are not responsible for a flood. They are responsible for the fact that despite the fact the National Weather Service in Austin and San Antonio issued a flash flood warning for potential catastrophic damage and severe threat to human life, the people in the flood's path were not warned. The local Republican representatives had considered a flood warning system that would have functioned like a tornado warning siren, but they didn't pursue it because they thought it was too expensive. The Republican Texas legislature recently decided not to pass a bill to improve Texas's disaster response, including better alert systems and grants for counties to buy emergency communication equipment and build new infrastructure for better early warning. The Republican federal government allowed DOGE to cut the hydrologists, meteorologists, and weather forecasters for that particular area, as well as cutting the funding for both the National Weather Service and the Federal Emergency Management Agency. You can't untangle politics from these events. Politics is how we decide which problems to solve and how we're going to do it. The Republicans chose to cut jobs, deprioritize climate change and the extreme weather events that come with it, and not pay for warning systems that save lives. We are spending a ridiculous amount of money to fund ICE raids across the country, to build a concentration camp in Florida, to give tax cuts to billionaires. So no, the flood isn't political, but what this government chooses to prioritize, what they choose to spend our tax dollars on, who they choose to employ in government to make these decisions, that is entirely political. 100 innocent Americans are dead from negligence and stupidity. So don't tell us now is not the time to talk about politics when politics is what took these people from us. My heart goes out to every single person in Texas who lost someone in this senseless tragedy. I am so incredibly sorry, but your politicians have to be held responsible so they make better choices so that something like this never happens again.
Now, wow, that's a whole lot going on that commentary. And again, that's her perspective, but it makes a lot of sense. A lot of these different jobs or these people who were working these positions who would have been able to warn that community, hey, they're no longer there. They're not working. Those jobs were cut. And I'm not saying that something could have been differently, but I believe that better systems in place would have helped the situation. So that's deep, and that's perspective. That's her perspective, and that's my political corner for the week.
All right.
So on that note, we're going to have our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about pivoting, redirection in life. So my name is Dr. B. Pope,
and I'm Fee the Busy Bee.
Yeah. Come on.
see us in the club, just show a little love, represent your sign like me. Round here, if you stick, you catch a hot one. Try shark, a couple of them down one. Belvedere in the rear of the club, pulled up on dubs, and we about to go and buy the bar up. So, so, for sure we ain't playing, hang with no lames, walk insane.
Baby, where the party at? Girls is on the way, but up a car, yeah.
Yes, we do.
Bottles and models talking all of that.
Uh-huh.
You know I can't forget about my thug. Where the party at? And all my girls.
Where the party at?
Off in the clothes. Where the party at?
Cause the party's where you're at, let me say. In their best outfit, just showing that skin, trying to make it on the spit. Where you been, girl? You and your friend need to come to the back. We got it locked down. Your white t-shirt or a three-piece suit, don't matter what you wear, all that matters is who you with. Some jiggy, some straight grind, all up in the clubs to have a good time.
Oh, hey, yo. Girls is on the way, but up a cardiac. Bottles and models talking all of that. No, I can't forget about my where the party at?
Yeah. Oh my God.
The one with the rim, the one that seemed to make more enemies than friends. I'm sliding in past those, both eyes closed, both arms froze, both charms froze with the S-O-S-O-D-E-J-F. Buying bottles, up to the ain't none left. I'm quick to go left, I plays with no rep. I jams more than death, baby, show me the club. I'm like, hey, whatever card it at? Come and mix it with the Chris, baby, what's wrong with that? We in the VIP twisted, downright spiffed. Two-way, they make it like you missed it. On the way, but up a car, bottles and models talking all of that. Put your hands up, storm up. Everybody put your hands up, storm. And the beat come back around. Everybody do it again.
East side run this mother for ya.
Hell yeah.
Do my south side run this mother for ya.
Hell yeah.
And them haters ain't hitting on. Ain't talking about her. And they look like the body's way around.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
Hey, hey, it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm here with Better Care For You. We treat our clients like family. And we live to care. Why call us? We take our mission to provide exceptional in-home care in familiar surroundings seriously. Our services are a companion sitter, personal care, and we also work with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Call us today at 678-900-8397. Again, that's 678-900-8397. Or check us out on the web at BetterCare, the number 4, YOU. That's BetterCareForYou.com.
glasses, dinner in bed. Yeah. Went and took some culinary classes. Oh. Gotta stay sexy for you, baby. Tighten up my body. Working on my ghetto Pilates. I'm not going out tonight. We can hit the sofa. Cuddle up satellite, sir. Oh, baby, whatever. Let me accommodate you. Is there anything you like for me to change?
My plaids, but I can't cover up my tats.
Oh no,
I did some things that I can't take back.
But baby, it's true, I will change it all for you.
Believe,
you gotta believe me, baby.
I'm yours forever.
Oh,
completely
in love. The old me was lonely, searching for my one and only. So happy that I found you.
All the potential, and you made it so simple to be in love.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a great time so far just hanging out with us as we talk about life and just different things that we go through. Now, that song is I've Changed by Jaheim and Keisha Cole. And the first song was Hey, What a Party Is That by Jagged Edge and Nelly. Great song, great song, great song. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to be talking about something that's very, you can just do it on here. You can just something that's very vital, and that's called pivoting, because I'm looking at the camera. It's pivoting. And basically what that is, a lot of times when we're going through life, when we hit a certain age or a certain milestone, we come to the crossroads with some decisions that we have to make. You know, I think about major life changes, you know, in relationships, careers, or even jobs, or even marriage, or even, you know, the way we deal with our kids. I mean, so this term that we're going to be talking about is called pivoting, and it's a really hot topic that's going on today because a lot of people are going through it with life questions like, what should I do? Let's say you've been at a job for 10 or 11 years and you're happy, but you know that you could be doing so much more. Or some people are in a relationship where they just feel that it's not giving them exactly what they need, and they feel a little, I guess, uneasy about it. So that's what we're going to explore today. And I want to encourage you and let you know that you're not crazy and you're not alone, that a lot of people feel that way at a certain point in their life.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, pivoting is so huge because no matter what you go through, you sometimes feel that way. We're going to talk about the reasons behind why you feel that way. Because sometimes you can feel like you want to pivot, or it's really difficult sometimes when you're going through something. It depends on what space you're in, is what I'm really trying to say. And so when we explain about pivoting, if someone's going through this, they kind of know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like you really feel like you're going through something and you need a change, whether you're unhappy with your situation or whether you want to make something better. And so those are kind of the things that I know I look for when I want to pivot, you know. And so those would be some things that, you know, you want to think about when you're wanting to pivot. So we're going to talk about all those things.
Right. So today we're going to explore the reasons, like Fee the Busy Bee said, why. And also the emotional and mental cost of staying stuck. Because sometimes that's a question. Like, if I say stay stuck, how is this going to affect me emotionally or mentally? And the powerful solutions for moving forward. So let's just talk about the definition first of all. Pivoting means making a significant change in direction in one or more areas in your life, such as career, relationships, mindset, or even personal goals. Usually in response to growth, dissatisfaction, or a desire for an alignment with true values and purpose. It doesn't mean starting from scratch, because I know we're at a point in our business where we just try to figure out how can we pivot, how can we do things a little different. And I know for a while I was just thinking, okay, we have to do something totally new. But no, sometimes pivoting means just making those changes, mm-hmm. just to adjust your path to go in the same direction, but you might just go a different route to get there.
Right.
So we just wanted to make sure that we emphasize that. So let's talk about key points to understanding pivoting. Okay, now remember, when you decide that you want to pivot, it's a strategic shift and not failure. Because sometimes people think, well, if it's not going good, I fail. But that's not necessarily true. Sometimes it might just be a strategic shift to help you to get to your destination a little quicker, or just a different route to get to your destination. You know, and also, we're sometimes when it comes to pivoting, sometimes we can be triggered by life transitions, sometimes burnout. Different things can cause us to come to the decision that we have to pivot. Let's say you're working a job, but it's just not paying the bills. You might have to say, hey, I love this job, but I might have to find something else,
right?
You know, in order to get by financially, even though I love the job, but it's just not giving me exactly what I need. You know, and also those common pivots, okay, that people go through includes changing careers, ending or renewing relationships, or even moving to a new city, or pursuing long delayed dreams. You know, how many times have you heard people waking up and says, you know what, I want to fulfill my bucket list. Like, you might just wake up and say, this is what I want to do in life. Now, I'm tired mm-hmm. of just waiting. Almost like with me with social media. I mean, I was just like, I want to do it. But now, let me jump out there and try something new, you know, mm-hmm. to get to my destination.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have anything you want to share?
I think you shared it all.
Okay, so let's talk about some reasons why people pivot, all right? Because everyone has their different reasons why.
But right, so the definition of pivoting is identifying evolution refers to the natural process of changing how we see ourselves over time, mm-hmm. our values, goals, passions, and even our roles in life. Mm. What once defined us may no longer feel authentic after years of personal growth
wow.
or new life experiences. Mm-hmm. An example may be a person who once found identity in being a high achiever in a corporate executive, you know, situation.
Mm-hmm.
After a decade, they may feel like they're called to be more creative or service-oriented life, like doing something different instead of just being this high corporate executive, you know,
mm-hmm.
they may want to feel like they want to do something else. So yeah. basically that, you know, one way is, you know, identifying, you know, yourself. Sometimes we lose our identity in mm-hmm. things when yeah. we go through different things.
Right. So that's the first reason why identity evolution, that you better yourself and you want to change. Now, another reason why people pivot is because it's called emotional burnout. Emotional burnout is the state of chronic emotional exhaustion by prolonged stress, especially in relationships at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man, you just get burnt out. Do I want to deal with this every single day? Let's say if you have a job and you work 12 or 13 hours a day, even though it's paying the bills, but at night, man, you're taking that job with you. I know I've been there where you're taking that job with you when you go
right.
to your bed, when you sleep, when you wake up in the morning, even though you're getting paid, you're getting a bag. Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. Even though you're getting paid and you're getting a bag, but it's just burning you out emotionally and also even physically. It's just burning you out. So that's another reason right. why people decide to pivot.
I mean, I think that's huge, burnout. You know, I think about the career that I'm in. You know, I'm in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times our caregivers, they have burnout.
Right.
You know, a lot of people taking care of their loved ones at home.
For
they're
years.
Getting burned out. You know, so a lot of, you know, we call it caregiver burnout.
Mm.
And so, you know, you can call it what you want to or whatever, you know, career you're in. But it's so possible to get those things where you're just tired. And you, what I think the keynote is, you lose your passion.
Mm.
And it may not be that you don't like people, you don't like serving people. It may be the environment that you're in.
Mm.
It may be the company that you work for.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember being in the ministry for many years, and I still love the ministry, but I got burnt out on the drama around it.
Right.
I love the people, you know what I mean? I love interacting with them and helping them, and we growing, you know, together and studying the Bible together with people. Like, that never left, but just the camaraderie of the things that happen around it. It was like, I didn't want to do that anymore. So a lot of things can cause you to have burnout or lose passion about things, and it may not be that actual thing, but it may be things around it.
Mm, what it brings,
you know,
to the table.
What it brings to the table. And so for me, you know, I'm my own boss. So now I know how to alleviate these things because I'm an entrepreneur. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I got out of a closed, mandated situation to have more freedom, but to still do what I love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still about helping people and loving people. So you know, God is so great, guys. Like, He will work every situation out, and you can make a plan all you want to. But right. When those things happen, sometimes it's okay. Like, we get weird about, like, oh God, what am I going to do? Because I really hate this. So we think we're stuck. And no, you're not stuck. You can move. You can get out of what you're feeling and
right.
going through. And things can get better. That's one thing about God. He never puts you through something where it gets worse. It always gets better.
Right. And another way that we can pivot is because of relationship stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when you feel like the relationship or intimacy shared is not really moving forward, you know, it's kind of like you're just in a place. Let's say if the kids move out, you know, they're older, you're empty nesters, and now you're just with your wife. And sometimes the relationship might not be as fresh, and sometimes people can pivot in that situation. I'm not saying leave your wife, but you got to just figure out how can you get that fire back.
Right, but some people do get divorced.
Oh,
I mean, that's just reality.
And that's what
people do leave.
Yes, and that kind of goes into, you know, the next reason why a lot of people are, you know, we decide to pivot is because unmet dreams or delayed goals. Now, this is big. Let's say even with relationships, let's say if your spouse, you know what I'm saying, you all have dreams, but over time, you just feel like your spouse is just a couch potato, but you might have dreams to change the world. But a lot of times these unmet dreams or delayed goals can lead to people pivoting. And I know Felicia and I, we were going over the show and we had a show on gray divorce a few months ago. And I really believe this might be one of the causes where people kind of grow apart from each other. Like, you might have your dreams, your ambitions. I have my goals, my ambitions. And instead of working together, man, we just separate or grow apart like a ship in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes even on our jobs, let's say if you've been putting it in, you've been working hard because you want that promotion, but you keep getting overlooked. And see, again, unmet goals, unmet expectations can cause for you to pivot, because you might say, I can do it better than him. I can do it better than her. I come in early. I put the work in. So why am I overlooked? And that can cause for a person to make a decision to transition or pivot.
Right. And then to go back to the marriage thing, I think too, guys, it's like sometimes you're just unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you might grow a child, but you're just unhappy. The person you give, you try to help, he's not giving.
Mm.
And so a relationship takes two, right? And so that's another thing too. And then the biggest thing is life is short.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I stay with somebody and I'm not even happy? And I'm wasting time in my life. So a lot of times people look at it that way too. Like,
right.
You know, I have, you know, all this stuff that going on. And I got to live my life. So why am I taking 10 years or 15 years of my life with somebody and I'm unhappy? Or I done gave this job 20 years and time is a layoff. Boom. They're trying to drop me like a hot potato.
Wow.
Like, I'm not going to deal with this. So a lot of times, too, it's motivated by time, because I think the longer we live and understand
time.
You know, time, right. We understand that it will leave you like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us understand, too, that, you know, you can leave this earth like that. Like, your life is not promised any second, any day. And so I think a lot of times it's really motivated by that, because we got to talk about, too, a little bit about the change. How all of us kind of go through this change.
Oh, yes, right.
In our lives.
Right,
You know, with women, we have a name for it called menopause. You know, and then with guys, what do we call it for guys?
Menopause. They call it midlife crisis.
Midlife crisis.
When a brother has the money, he wants to go get that Corvette and live out his young days.
Yeah, and forget about his family. You know what I'm saying?
Say they don't forget about their family all the time. Some of them do.
And they pivot. That's right. When they do their crisis,
yeah,
or whatever.
That's true.
And so, you know, and women can go through the same, yes, thing. And men can have menopause. So it's like, you know.
Menopause, it's just, not, you know, menopause.
Is what now?
Menopause. That's what the doctor said.
Okay,
menopause. Right.
Okay. So, you know, so those are the things that can happen too as well. So, you know, and, you know, we're saying this because we want to try to relate to everybody. Because, right, everybody's situation is different.
Everybody's,
guys,
different. And then, too, going back to time, I mean, time, and you're not the same person who you were when you were 20 years old.
Exactly.
And I think that's so important, even in relationships or just life, period, because my values when I got married are totally different than they are now. You know what I'm saying? The things that I do for my wife now are totally different than when I was 20 years old.
Right.
You know what I mean? So life does that to you. So you have to evolve. But while you are evolving, you have to make sure that you understand that. You know what I mean? Because I know when we talk about different things, I know some men I talk to a lot. Well, my wife is, she doesn't look like she did when she was 30 years ago. So now I want someone younger. And you know what I'm saying? You don't look the same as you did 30 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I was 178 pounds 30 years ago. You know, I was like this, you know, but now I'm different. So everybody evolves and you have to be okay with that.
Right.
But again, that pivoting comes in. So great point, Feed a Busy Bee. And also she talked about time, and time is a factor because sometimes, hey, you understand you don't have that much time left. And I know when you're young, you don't think that way. But when you're older, you start thinking about that stuff a lot more, you know, because even when it comes to personally buying things, because sometimes we say, OK, look, man, I don't have that much time left. I might die tomorrow. So I'm not saying go spend all your savings on something that you like doing. You still got to be wise. But sometimes you can't just store up everything. And then when you pass away, hey, you don't have anything. I know this person. They own a lot of businesses, a lot of land. And they're struggling. Like, oh, I can't travel because I want to leave everything to my kids. But she always talk about how she cannot travel. She always talk about how she can't do nothing with her life, but she has all of these properties. But I'm like, live your life.
Live your life.
You know what I mean? You know, live your life.
And it's not like her daughter didn't have great things. So it's like,
but
that
live,
makes no sense.
Live your life. And I remember that one time, Feed a Busy Bee and I, and this is when I realized that, right? This was about 13 years ago. We were looking at building a house. So we were looking at land. So we saw this, we met with this guy, and he had 2 acres of land left, but he was only selling an acre and a half. So we were talking, we were looking at the piece of property and everything. And then he said, yeah, my father left all the kids 12 acres of land. So everybody got a piece of land. So what we did, everybody sold their land, but my father's dream for us to keep the land, so I'm going to sell all the land except 0.1 of an acre. Now, he had 12 acres, you know what I mean? But he said in order to keep his father's legacy, 0.1 of an acre. So he was selling everything else. So I was like, dog, you really care about your father's legacy. You kept a little bitty piece. But he was like, man, they sold that land as soon as he was in the ground. So yeah. I was like, wow. So that kind of made me think, you better enjoy your life while you're here, because when you're dead and gone, hey, people go look at you and keep moving.
That's right. And you know, people always run their mouth and got their own opinion. But you know what? Everybody got the opinion. You know, and you know, I do what I do.
Right. Everybody, you know, has an opinion, but you got to live your life. I
you
mean, seriously,
live your life.
So I think whatever you do when you pivot, you just got to make sure it's best for you,
exactly,
and your family. I mean, if you by yourself, you got to make sure it's best for you. All right. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you don't pivot? So I want to go over these stats quickly.
Okay.
Mental health decline. Okay. CDC in 2023 said long-term job dissatisfaction increases the risk of anxiety and depression by 33%. 33% if you're on a job that you hate, or if you're stressed out at something on your job and you hadn't dealt with it, 33%. So a lot of times people are going through challenges on their jobs, but they don't understand how it's hurting their mental health in a big way.
Yep, physical burnout. Mayo yes. Clinic, chronic stress from unfulfilling work or personal life leads to fatigue, insomnia, and even autoimmune flare-ups.
Wow.
Woo, I know about that.
So it affects you physically, not just mentally.
That's it.
And also loss of identity. Staying too long on a misaligned situation can cause people to forget about themselves and what lights them up. I mean, I want you to think about that. How many of you have been in relationships where you just didn't feel happy or you lost your own identity?
Yeah.
All right. You might have came to the relationship excited, energy. You wanted to change the world.
Right. Had your own dreams and goals and ambitions.
Right. But in a few years with that person, oh, man, sucked the life right out of you. I know people like that. I remember before they got married, oh man, the guy was on fire. I mean, energized, energetic. And then you see him 10 years later, oh man, look like somebody done sucked the life out of him.
Yep.
And just not happy. And I don't know what goes on in the household. I'm just talking about what I see.
Right,
you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right,
but it can cause you to lose who you are. And I know I've watched enough Lifetime movies. I've seen enough YouTube videos about women who just feel like they've been in relationships, but they lost their identity.
Exactly.
Instead of being, you know, who they were called to be. Now I'm just
I'm what he wants me to be.
Yeah, I'm what he wants me to be. And I know you got to compromise, so I'm not going all that boss woman, all this kind of stuff sidetrack. But what I am saying is that you have to work together. You should
exactly.
not lose your identity. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, it should increase your worth.
Exactly. It should make you better.
Right.
Like when you're, you know, two is better than one.
Right. Because I feel like because I'm with Felicia, you know, I've learned so much about myself in ways where I can grow and do better. If I was alone, you know, I would be at this point. But because I have so someone on my team, someone who loves me, someone who cares for me, man, I'm at a whole another level because of her.
What he's trying to say is I upgraded him.
Yeah, and I know, and I hope she can say the same thing. So let's talk about just some practical steps for life pivots.
Well,
I know
we talk about real life story.
A real life story? No, you could talk about. No, that's just an example. You
oh,
can talk
got
about
you.
That.
Never
yeah.
mind. You got it. Okay.
Yes. Uh huh. Yeah. I'm looking at the time now because we got a few
got
minutes.
You.
So,
okay.
How to pivot with purpose? Okay, that's what we want to talk about. Give yourself permission to pivot. All right, this is so important. Give yourself permission. It's okay to pivot. I mean, you don't have to feel bad about life changes. I know they're scary because I'm going through one now, like how to scale a business. So it's scary because what happens, you have to relinquish some of the control or the normalcy that you might have.
Right.
But you give yourself permission. It's okay to think about your life going in a different direction. Remember, it's the same direction, but different journey, different path.
The statistics say like people that a lot of people that are entrepreneurs are right now, as far as African-Americans, we're making a lot of money right now and it's good, but they say in the year of 2053 it will cease. It'll be at zero. And so they said the reason why with African Americans it will go to zero, because this is just, you know, what people say. I'm not saying it. This is what statistics talk. This is what they say. They say that because we are not eager to learn something new.
Is it just African Americans?
Just African Americans.
That's what they were talking about.
They're talking about African Americans that have went out and have, you know, been entrepreneurs, have been millionaires, been making a lot of money, because things are changing so much, it's evolving so much, and they're just saying in 2053 it will not exist. It will be at zero because the learning curve of not trying to fight to learn something new. So even with pivoting, guys, it's learning something new.
Right.
It's okay to step out there. It's okay to make mistakes. You know, but try to push yourself to promote change in your life.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't want to stay at the same point you are. You want to continue to grow.
I love that. And also, number two, get clear on what's not working. So if something's not working as you decide to pivot, hey, switch it up. You know, ask yourself, if I'm on this job for 10 more years, how would my life be down the road? All right. So get a clear path of what's not working. And then, hey, pivot again. I mean, seriously, remember, it is a journey. And also create an exit plan. Let's say if you are in that situation and you pivot and it's not working, always have an exit plan. And I'm not saying that you don't walk by faith, but what I am saying, you just have to look at it in reality too. You don't want to get caught up in something where you decide to pivot, but it's still spiraling downhill and that you don't have any kind of exit plan. So right. Make sure that you kind of know your direction.
And I think too, the best thing is consult your circle of counselors. Make sure you get wise voices of help to avoid impulsive moves and encourage intentional shifts.
Right. So you got to talk to people about it. So, and also detach from the outcome. Okay. And let me break that down. Since growth doesn't always lead to comfort. It leads to alignment. Yeah. So basically, sometimes when you make that decision to grow or to pivot or to transition, it's not going to be easy. Sometimes we want it to be easy, but it's not. It takes a lot of work. I know even when we're talking about social media, Felicia and I was joking when I was talking about, I had 300 views. And I was like, then we were just saying, man, it takes a lot of work to really transition and to pivot. It doesn't come naturally sometimes.
You got to work
But
hard.
You have
you
to be willing to put that time in. That's you got to be willing to put that work in. You know, so you have to understand that. And then data supports change. It says AARP, adults over 40 who change careers report an increase in life satisfaction by 57%.
Wow.
Right. So these people who decided to do something different decided to pivot when they were in toxic jobs or toxic relationships. Once they made that decision, their satisfaction level increased by over 57%. So there's hope. We always talk about hope, but there's hope in jumping out there and making that transition if you feel like that's where you need to go.
Wow, so don't we want to pivot? We want to pivot. That's a good stat.
So Feed a Busy Bee, again, we're at the end of another show about pivoting and just, you know, being different. So whether it's a job, a career, relationship, or a mindset, pivoting after years doesn't mean that you have failed. It means that you're still growing. Yes. And that's the key. We're all growing. Mm-hmm. And I want you to understand that you are allowed to change. You are allowed to outgrow yourself.
Yes.
And you're allowed to choose peace, like I always say, over comfort.
Yes,
and
yes,
remember, you don't need permission to evolve. You just need courage. That's all you need. Courage.
Fearlessness.
Yeah. And the best version of yourself might be waiting on your next pivot. So, hey, my name is Dr. B. Pope, but I have the quote of the week. I'm sorry, I do the quote of the week.
Like, really? Doing the quote?
I got to do the quote of the week. And the quote of the week is by Mark Twain. He says, "The secret of getting ahead is getting started. The secret of getting started is breaking your complex, overwhelming tasks into small, manageable tasks and then starting on the first one."
Wow.
So, my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk. And we are busy out.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee, the Busy Bee, on TikTok and Instagram.